The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
If you're struggling with tantrums at home or out and about even, you're not alone, because psychotherapist and author Isolde White is here to talk us through real life parenting strategies to handle meltdowns. Isolde, you're very welcome. We've all been there.
We've all been there, all of us.
Yeah, I always, when I think of tantrums, I remember a situation in Tesco with two of my children at the same time, lying on the floor and screaming.
Yeah, and that's when you just look on at.
Yeah.
there's so little you can do when it's in public like that. And anything you do that's going to aggravate it, it's only going to make it last longer, and you just have to get through it, really, don't you?
Yeah, and you become part of the entertainment as well, don't you? For the other people who are there and might be bored and want something to look at. And
who are also going, but for the grace of God, go
exactly.
And going, oh my God, thank God that's not me this time.
Yeah, well, and that's what I do now. I remember back to those days, and I have great pity and sympathy for people. But at what age do these tantrums start? What's behind them?
Well, we really call them they start in what we call the terrible twos, but the terrible twos start earlier than 2 years old, right? So I suppose after 1 year old, as the child is really, really trying to have autonomy, but doesn't have the capacity to have full autonomy. So is getting frustrated, can't fully communicate with you what they want, what they're trying to do, but really want to do things for themselves. And the tantrums come largely out of frustration at their incapacity to do something, or out of tiredness or hungriness. And the model that we're thinking of as we work with children all the way up through childhood, on through adolescence and everything, is learning how to self-regulate and how to regulate your emotions. And tantrums are dysregulation. They're not regulated emotions. And so the main thing for a parent to remember in dealing with the child is that children's nervous systems can co-regulate off our nervous system. Mm-hmm. So the calmer we can keep ourselves, the more impact we'll have on the tantrum. If we get dysregulated and elevated as well, the whole thing is just going to go up. So if we can kind of just focus on calming ourselves and then containing the tantrum, saying, listen, I know you're finding this hard, but keep it really short. I know you're cross, I know you're finding this hard, but here's what we have to do.
So we have to accept that the tantrum is going to happen.
It's happening.
It's how we respond to it that's what we can control.
That's the only thing you can control. You definitely can't control the tantrum. And the way to control it is managing your own distress at the tantrum, your own aggravation. You might be aggravated. And really just trying to soothe the child.
Mm-hmm.
And then after the tantrum, depending on the age of the child, you can have a chat about what could have been done differently. But also, I think as adults in the room, we also have to look at what we could have done differently. Like, were we rushing to go to the supermarket, fitting it in after 10 million other things? Children are hungry. You know, what did we create the best circumstances for everybody to have a decent trip to the supermarket?
So how do you respond then? What does being calm look like? Is it ignoring it to a certain extent? Because sometimes you see people trying to pick up the child and the child is pushing and kicking and hitting the parent. Like, what is the right strategy?
Well, I think first of all, focus on your own breathing and calming yourself down. And then knowing your own child, some children you could pick up and that's helpful. For the most part, I probably wouldn't, because they're probably going to lash out. But you do want to make sure they're safe. So depending on managing their safety, at home, I would normally just walk them out of the room where everybody is and maybe sit them down somewhere else on the stairs. Not as a naughty step or anything, if you remember back to that nanny thing, but just somewhere away from the chaos, and say, listen, I know you're upset. We're both going to try breathing here. Let's calm down.
Mm-hmm.
And you just keep saying that.
If it's something that they want, that they're pushing for, is it the wrong strategy to give them the thing?
Yes, it's generally the wrong strategy to give them the thing, because, you know, children, we're just animals, really. We all work on a reward-based system. So if you give in to the things, then that's a communication system that works. Communicating through a tantrum works if you give them the thing. So don't.
Mm-hmm.
It's really not worth it in the long run.
So the tantrum is normal, you know, from
totally
the age
normal.
of one plus,
yeah,
up to when? And when should we start to think, maybe this should be improving a little bit as the communication skills develop?
We should start to see tantrums dying down from 4 or 5. And there might still be the occasional one when a kid is super tired or very hungry. And then I suppose you do also have to be aware, if you have a kid with neurodivergence, their self-regulation is going to be more challenged. They're more likely to get dysregulated through sensory overload. So you will see more tantrums with your neurodivergent child, and you need to have a different way of sort of managing that.
Mm-hmm.
But with your normally developing children, from mid-childhood on, you shouldn't be seeing a lot in the way of tantrums.
Okay, because they're happening because you have limited language skills and you find it difficult to communicate in the way that you want, as you have explained, Isolt. But as you grow and develop, then those skills and that ability to communicate should replace the kicking and screaming.
Should, definitely. And the thing to look out for with an older child, if they're having more tantrums, is there some kind of stress or distress in the family system or in the child's life and school? And you really need to be thinking about what's going on in the wider life of this child, if that's happening. And, you know, see if there's anything going on in school. But one of the things that I think can really work to overall reduce sort of tantrums and anger in older children is giving that child a bit more attention, but not for the tantrum, but sort of fitting in a bit more attention. So, you know, our lives are very busy. We're rushing and picking up and going to this extracurricular activity or whatever. Fitting in some time for each parent to spend alone with that child, even if it's only 20 minutes on the walk home from school or stopping for a coffee. You know, nothing that's seen as a reward for bad behaviour, but just a way of giving more one-on-one attention to a child can be really helpful.
Okay, but if you have fallen down the trap of rewarding the behaviour, how difficult is it then to break that cycle? Because you have, as you've explained, you've taught the child that that works, the tantrum works.
Well, then I think, you know, it might be worth considering putting in some kind of plan where, you know, like younger children up to a certain age love rewards, you know, like the little star charts. They actually do really like this stuff, you know, an extra 20 minutes of playing on their iPad or something for good behavior. So rather than, you know, say you're going to set a limit, sorry, we're no longer giving treats during the day or whatever it is that the tantrum was for, and actually start instituting sort of a good behavior system and start rewarding the good behavior and setting a boundary around the tantrum.
Okay, but again, you may start to identify as the child grows older that there is a problem with self-regulation.
Yeah.
And that's when you need to look at maybe getting some outside help to deal with the tantrums.
Yeah, absolutely. If it's continuing to go on, I would certainly consider looking at some kind of assessment. You know, it shouldn't be happening that your 8 or 9, 10-year-old should be having regular tantrums.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be worth getting assessment for.
Okay. A listener says it's impossible to tell a child to breathe when they're screeching and losing it. I don't think that's what you suggested. You're saying the parent needs to breathe so that you stay calm in the situation, right? Don't give them an audience and they soon stop. Just put them somewhere safe and walk away. Are they doing it for the audience?
They're not really doing it for the audience. And so I think removing them from the mayhem of general life and being somewhere on your own with them, but they do need soothing and they do need help soothing, and they will co-regulate from you. So if you can stay calm and stay with them and show that you're like, I still love you, even though you've behaved like this. This is not a big deal. We just need to find better ways of doing things. So I wouldn't leave them on their own.
It can be really hard, though, to stay calm in those situations, particularly if it's in public, right? Because you want to try and sort it out as quickly as possible.
Yeah, and I think we just maybe have to learn to tolerate that, you know, that there will be some people judging us in public when our child has a tantrum and trying to let it go, because that is about us, right?
Yeah.
That is about our own feelings. So just trying to let go of our own feelings of shame that, you know, kids having a tantrum in front of everybody.
And you feel like you're the only person it's ever happened to.
And
it's happened to everybody, and you feel like a failure, and you're not. You know, you just need to get rid of all of those feelings and just let it happen.
Yeah, that's what I think you need to do. And you, there will always be other moms who are looking at you going, oh, I'm so sorry you're going through that. And, you know, they may not say anything to you, but they do get what's going on.
25 years ago, says Andrea, who's in touch with us, one of my girls who was 2 started crying the crying, screaming thing in the supermarket. I headed off around the supermarket with the other girl and I left her to it. I watched her from the nearby aisle until she realised I was gone, and she immediately stopped and all was normal. And she agrees that giving them the thing is absolutely not the way to deal with it. So she, I suppose, gave the child a fright in that the child looked up and said, "Mommy isn't here anymore," and stopped. Is that an advisable strategy?
It probably wouldn't be my choice of strategy.
Sometimes you gotta do what you gotta do.
Absolutely, and I would never criticise a parent for doing what they have to do in a moment.
And it worked, and everybody's fine. Andrea, thank you very much for getting in touch. Isolde, thanks so much for your advice. Isolde White, just get through the tantrums. It'll be okay. It'll be fine. We'll all survive.
The Claire Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.